You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPJM Payson, The Bridge.
Welcome to the Saturday Surprise Show on The Bridge, 88.1 FM, KPJM Payson. If you would like to be on the Saturday Surprise Show, you can email us at kpjmfm@gmail.com. That's kpjmfm@gmail.com.
And like that, Saturday Surprise is on the air. Good Saturday morning to you. Yeah, it's still morning. Last time I checked, it was about 11:01 a.m., and the Saturday Surprise is on the air. Good morning. It's interesting. We went from the Arizona Business Showcase, where we were talking about locally owned, locally generated business, and thanks so much for Heidi Gregory to be on with us, and Noli's, good folks, good gathering place. We got some good folks in studios. Right now, we've got Bob Decker, correct?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Okay. And Elsa Stevenson, correct?
Stephanson, really close.
Stephanson. I have a V here. Elsa Stephanson. There. Glad I got that. We're going to be talking FireWise. It's somewhat interesting to note that within the last 2 weeks, we've had enough precipitation to make us be thinking FireWise here within the next 60 to 90 days, as it were. We get the rain. What do we get? We get the undergrowth. We get the burst of grasses. We get shrubberies maybe getting a little more fauna on them, and or flora, as it were. And, you know, it's going to dry out quickly. As much as we would like sustainable rains, we just don't have that in Rim Country, or we don't have a short fire season. Again, here's a little bit of my legacy that I will give you before we get into this. I grew up in the aerial firefighting business.
Wow.
My dad worked for a group out of Mesa Falcon Field, Aviation Specialties, that they were instrumental in the first commercial application of aerial firefighting. The U.S. Forest Service was the first one to take essentially a PT-17 Stearman aircraft, okay, and were able to drop water on spot fires. And then they thought, my goodness, and this was post-war, World War II, and they thought, wow, we've got in Kingman, Arizona, line after line after line of Boeing B-17s. We've got, in certain places, PBY Catalinas, PB-4Y2 privateers. What aircraft could we conceivably put these tanks in to drop? At that time, they were even thinking about retardants. They even thought far enough ahead to where they came up with a product called Fire Troll that they were able to apply ahead of the burn spot. It would burn up to and stop. It would retard the wildfire process.
Now, and those are all really important assets,
exactly,
in fighting catastrophic wildfire, right, or wildfire that threatens communities.
But we need to think about before time. And that's what we're going to do today. Yeah. We're going to talk about being fire wise. I love that term. And that term, maybe you have a little history on it. It's not that old. I mean,
it isn't. It came from the NFPA.
Okay.
They actually have trademarked it. So anyone who's starting a business, do not use FireWise.
Yeah.
Right? Because it is a trademarked. But it's the principles of vegetation management, which is a lot longer to say than FireWise. Right.
I was going to say
right. Vegetation management. Well, what's that? That sounds really boring. But really, it is those principles of creating defensible or survivable space around individual homes, around communities. So individual homes, we really talk about the 0 to 30 feet and the vegetation that should be there, because we're not talking about clear cutting. We're not talking about having rock yards. Mm-hmm. We're talking about green, healthy vegetation. What kind of vegetation, such as maybe you don't want manzanita up against your house because that's a really hard wood and it will burn long and it will burn hot.
Okay.
And that creates heat against your home, so it's preheated.
Now, I have to jump in as the amateur slash devil's advocate slash listener. Why 30 feet?
That's a reasonable defensible space where you can have like beautiful green shrubbery, but that 30 feet is a good space so that firefighters can come in and help defend the assets.
Okay.
Right. So we've actually seen where in videos that we see where wildfire has come through, that something as simple as a dog run stopped a fire coming across. Mm-hmm. Yeah, little 6 inches. And it's all about creating those fuel breaks between the vegetation that can catch and your home or the assets.
All right. Interesting. We're talking FireWise this morning. And I have to shift gears here because we go from Arizona Business Spotlight into Saturday Surprise. It's like having a regular broadcast program for a broadcaster like myself with a lot of different features in it. So right. Pardon me if I slip back into maybe a different gear every once in a while. You're listening to Saturday Surprise on 88.1 FM, The Bridge. Again, Elsa Stefansson.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Got it.
Good.
And the next aspect to that of protecting your home is it also helps protect your neighbor's home. Then when your neighbors get in on it, it protects your whole neighborhood. You get multiple neighborhoods together, then you have your whole community, and you have a fire adaptive community.
You know, it's
interesting. There are benefits for that.
I've got to interrupt you there because I remember a fire. This is bizarre. This was like the last summer I was in high school, and this is in Phoenix, Arizona, basically 48th and Southern, you know, just a regular residential neighborhood. And I remember saying to my, it was a hot summer afternoon, I said to my mom, I see smoke. And she says, smoke? And I said, yeah, it's the next neighborhood to the south. And I went and I got up on the roof of the house, and I could see flames at that point.
Oh, my.
Come to find out, there was a gentleman that owned a car that he was doing some work on, some welding. He cut through a fuel line. It caused a fire, but he had fuel stored in his garage.
Ouch.
The house next door caught fire because that exploded, and you can imagine. So it's interesting that we're talking about defensible space, but we're also talking about it being a cluster, for lack of a better explanation. If everybody's on the same page, everybody's going to be that much safer when
yes.
we talk about FireWise.
Yes, and not only are we that much safer from having our structures or our communities burn, but it also affects the insurance rates for communities.
Okay.
So if you can have a fire adaptive community, you have then proven to the insurance companies, and they give breaks for that. They give breaks for having your property FireWise and for being in a fire adaptive community.
Is this something that somebody would have to come out and inspect?
Yes. You have to have 90% of the structures in the community or in the HOA to be considered a fire adaptive.
And then that has to be reviewed every 3 years.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Things that I did not know. That's the voice of Bob Decker. Bob and Elsa in talking about FireWise practices and a whole lot more. I got a feeling this is going to be a total education. Now, what I've done just as a primer to this is I've gone to the Department of Forestry and Fire Management for your state of Arizona. And what I've done is I've gone to that and to get a few more tips on FireWise, to learn a few things about FireWise. When it comes to your home, wildfires don't have to be a disaster. It's funny because when I brought up the FireWise site, I was thinking about Smokey the Bear, because Smokey Bear, I should say. Smokey always used to say,
only you can prevent forest fires.
Forest fire, not wildfires. So that kind of changed as we went in. And then, again, another term, FireWise, came in as well. So all
wildfire is not bad.
Right.
Catastrophic wildfire, where you have communities, or it's called wildland urban interface, bumping up against the national forest. Now, wildfire was originally Mother Nature's housekeeper.
Absolutely.
It's how all of that small brush and all of the excess vegetation was removed from the forest. And usually around every 100 years, it would come through and it would burn. And that also gave regeneration to the soil.
Very
it
much
put
a
things
natural
back in.
Process.
Right. So when we took fire out of the equation, we then have an overgrown forest.
Okay.
And we did this after the big blow up when everyone came back from war. Mm-hmm. And we discovered, these wildfires, they're burning these communities. We have to stop this. We stopped it, but then we didn't put anything in its place, which has led to where we are today. So our environment can support 40 to 60 trees per acre. We currently have 300 in our forest.
Pretty dense.
And that's why the Forest Service is pouring millions of dollars into this area to do that vegetation management, to do that forest restoration. It's better for the environment. It's better for the animals. We've seen natural springs come back in less than 18 months.
Interesting.
because when you have all that small vegetation, it sucks all that moisture out. Sure. So your mature vegetation then dies off and also becomes a fire hazard. Bark beetles move in. You get more dead trees. That's more fuels for a wildfire to take hold. Those are all bad things.
Right. Over 20 years ago, it's interesting you mentioned the bark beetle, but the bark beetle really hit the news in Rim Country here just a shade over 20 years ago.
Yes.
And again, all as a result of that.
Of overgrown vegetation, right. Yes. Right. So the Forest Service has recognized this, and they're doing an incredible amount of work. But where communities come in is if they do the work of building a fuel break like Pine and Strawberry has, then when natural fires happen, such as the West Fire, then the Forest Service can take that and turn it into a prescribed burn where they got 8,000 acres treated.
Interesting.
At a fraction of the cost of what it would have taken to do mastication projects or restoration projects. Is it an inconvenience to have smoke in the air? Yeah, and it's a problem for a lot of people. But that will help protect our community from that area for the next 10 years, maybe even 20.
And when you were talking about Forest Service activities, probably the one first and foremost in my mind, and the ones that we see on the digital menu boards or in the media, would be the prescribed burn. They used to call it a slash burn or a cut and slash or just a burn, but it's called a prescribed burn.
Right.
Controlled burn.
Controlled burn.
That used to be the old phrase.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So right now, we have a lot of those efforts going on in Rim Country proper, but they're also going on nationwide. Yes. And we heard about some pretty good fires burning in North Carolina less than 2 weeks ago. And that's where my bio daughter is, in the Great Smoky Mountains of North Carolina. And the fires there tend to be a little different than what we're used to in the West. But again, same situation. They had a tremendous, and most of us had heard on the news the horrible floods that took place after the hurricane in North Carolina. And now they're burning. Nothing like being knee deep in water and burning at the same time.
It's horrific.
That's very typical to North Carolina.
Yeah.
Very typical to North Carolina. Wow. It's amazing. In studios with me, we've got Bob Decker and Elsa Stefansson. Again, I have different information written down here, but I just want to make sure and get the names right. We're talking FireWise. We need to get the backstory here. Why are you both involved in FireWise?
Okay. You start off.
Okay. So I came up here 6 or 7 years ago, and I had retired from running a pug rescue. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I would just kick back, play a little bit of chess.
Pug rescue.
Okay. I know. I'm still involved for senior medical rescue pugs. And I came up here, and about 2 weeks in, I was bored out of my mind. So I went to a volunteer meeting for Pine Strawberry Fuel Reduction, who has been going since 2004. They incorporated as a nonprofit in 2007.
Okay.
So I went to one of their volunteer meetings for the Fire on the Rim mountain bike race, which happens every year.
That's
We do that, and the Pine Trail Run. So I went to this volunteer meeting. I said, I can help with that. I suffer from helium hand. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Where I can help with that,
up,
right?
Yeah.
And I just found a passion for it. And I had never really thought about FireWise. I hadn't thought about vegetation management. Mm-hmm. And my mentor and the founder of the organization, Mike Brandt, an amazing human being, and his wife, they poured their lifeblood into this organization. And I realize I stand on the shoulders of giants.
There you go.
To do what I do today. So I'm very grateful for them. They have since retired. Mm-hmm. And that's when I took over the organization. I learned everything I could. I would sit down with him, mm-hmm. and we'd be having an adult beverage, and I would have my computer and I'd just take notes. Mm-hmm. Everything he said, because he's just such a wealth of knowledge. And then I started doing my own learning and teaching of the Ready, Set, Go program, vegetation management, FireWise. It's so incredibly important for our communities, because if our towns burn, all the other things we do, we won't need.
Right.
Food banks, animal shelters. Only 30% of Paradise, California was rebuilt after 10 years.
Right.
30%. So all those other things we do, you know, business incentives, small business programs. If the town burns, None of that matters.
Now, I lived in San Bernardino County, California. Again, this is my first away from home radio, if you will. San Bernardino County is a different cat than Los Angeles, but butted right up next to it. And again, growing up in the aerial firefighting business in the late 70s, there was a huge trend. Cal Fire had not really established their aviation division a fraction of the extent that it is now. Companies like what my dad was involved with, Aviation Specialties, helped them go to the next level. Marsh Aviation, which was an offshoot of Aviation Specialties, is the one that put the turbine engines on the S2 aircraft and created the S2T, which fights so effectively for Cal Fire now. So again, I've gone to this different level through my upbringing of knowing what's right, and the writing was on the wall. I don't want to get too much into politics, but the writing was on the wall for that fire in California, had been, is still, and unless things change radically, will be for many different communities.
Yes, including ours. Oh, we have to do the work too, though.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. Right. I'm telling you, FireWise is so very important, and to be FireWise, and again, too, Elsa, it's important that people have those digital resources as well to get the education on FireWise. Can you?
Absolutely. So we have a website, PS Fuel Reduction.
PS Fuel Reduction, okay.
.org. And okay. On the site, there are programs and resources.
Okay.
So the Ready, Set, Go guide is up there. There are lots of videos. We even have a list of contractors that we're working on updating right now. Yep. And it has a lot of really fantastic information out there.
PSFuelReduction.org. Mm-hmm. Right. And we'll hit that as time goes on. Are there meetings, community meetings from time to time regard to FireWise?
Well, that's why we're here.
Okay.
You know, unfortunately, not to get into politics, mm-hmm. Okay, but towns are supposed to be educating people on how to FireWise.
Understood.
And they don't have the staff to do it.
Okay.
Okay, it's all about money, and I'll get back to money later on as we talk, okay? But how I got into this business, okay, was that I moved up here in, full-time in 2017.
Okay.
And I've been coming up here since 2002 and loved to come. I lived in Mesa and come up here every weekend to get the hell out of the heat.
Sure.
And then bought some property in 2008. And on either side, I had neighbors who lived in California.
Oh.
Who came here once in a while.
Okay.
And I watched the weeds grow 1 foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet tall. And I went, gee, I wonder what happens about fires in this town. And I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything then about FireWise and wildfires and all this stuff. I said, gee, this is really odd. And then all of a sudden, I started reading about wildfires. And I started getting scared.
Sure.
All right? Because I had lived in Colorado for 20 years.
There you go.
And I lived on a mountaintop, okay, at 7,600 feet with five other houses. And we had a wildfire. Mm-hmm. And we had one well. And we were 7 miles from the nearest fire department that had one engine. Mm-hmm. And the fire, thank God, stopped right across the street from my house.
Wow. If you don't believe in divine providence.
Right. And that, for lack of better words, that scared the hell out of me.
Sure.
Okay. So I started getting involved. I heard about a FireWise group that was working with the fire department up here and got involved with that and found out that they were trying to put together an ordinance. Not for 5 years, not for 10 years, but for 15 years. And they could never get the ordinance through. Hmm. So we quadrupled our efforts, and we got an ordinance, finally, through the town council. Okay, and the ordinance was supposed to hire a fuels manager, mm-hmm. or someone to, you know, make the program work, and a staff of 4 people. And they hired the fuels manager, and the town council decided they didn't have the money to hire a staff for him. So they hired a guy to do 90 million things and gave him no staff and no money to do anything.
Uh-oh.
So we decided, okay, around the time of the, what was a big fire they had down in Mesa? Was that huge fire called the bushfire?
Yeah.
Okay. around the time of the bushfire,
right,
we decided we were going to start working with the fire department, or working against, well, not against, but alongside the fire department, to start a FireWise organization on education and firewising and doing everything.
Was that the fire that burned over toward, burned across 87?
That's yes.
Okay.
That was the huge fire. When, right, when you run down, it looks like it, nuclear waste all the way down to the valley.
Anyway, right.
But we had 60 people, I'll never forget, show up for our first class, okay? And everybody signed up and wanted to help out.
Wow.
A month later, only three people were interested. Hmm. So the first lesson that we learned was people don't get interested for very long.
Depending upon what it is, sure.
Right. All right. So anyway, we started putting together classes and gave classes at different places to find out where the best class, you know, best time was, best class. And I met Elsa, and Elsa has been my mentor ever since. Okay. And our predominantly what we're doing now is working on educating people in two areas. Number one, how to prepare their home to survive a wildfire.
Okay.
And number two, how to prepare themselves on how to survive a wildfire.
I got a feeling we've got tips and information aplenty coming. You're listening to Saturday Surprise on 88.1 FM, The Bridge, making those community connections. Bob Decker and Elsa Stefansson in studios with us talking FireWise today. If there's anything you would hear, you would like to hear more information about, or would like to chime in on a later show, contact kpjmfm@gmail.com. The phone number, 928-468-5756 for KPJM. And this program is being listened to worldwide at kpjm-fm.com. And you're listening to the Saturday Surprise. I'm your host, Tim Barrett. From, what'd you say, 60 down to 3? What was that something like, people just didn't think that was their cup of tea?
That's or, right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Until they have the fire burning.
Exactly. Yeah. When smoke is in the air.
Exactly.
That's when we see a lot of people come out. That's when they start calling the contractors. Hey, right, can you come FireWise my property? Well, the fire's, we're being evacuated. No. The answer is no.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Right. You have to do this ahead of time. And we're so busy in modern life that this can kind of fall to the background. But emergency preparedness is, we have to do that where we live.
Right.
And they used to say, okay, well, there's nothing you can do. Wildfire is just going to burn your home. Have your bag packed by the door and wring your hands and listen to the news. But there are things you can do. Indeed. By engaging these vegetation management practices, your home can survive a wildfire.
I mean, that
and it's
tip,
not complicated.
Defensible space is something that right? You don't have to have a chainsaw with a 24-inch bar, or you don't have to have earth-moving equipment.
And firefighters, if a wildfire is coming, they are going to triage communities. They're going to triage neighborhoods. So this is another reason to not only do it yourself, but to get your neighborhood involved, your HOA, your entire community, because they'll go, oh, we could save that one, but these two on either side, they're a hot mess. We're not even going to try here. We're not going to put our firefighters in danger, which they shouldn't, not for a house, not for possessions.
And Bob brought up a good point about, like, as, for lack of a better explanation, maybe seasonal or temporary residents that don't necessarily know what is going on around their properties from a daily standpoint of walking out the door going, well, those weeds are getting kind of high.
Right. And now we have another problem.
Okay.
We have the Airbnb people in town.
Uh-oh.
Who don't have a clue either.
Okay.
They're coming from all over the country. They're staying somewhere. They don't know what to do.
So right. To meet this challenge, one of the things we do is Fuel Reduction has a FireWise trailer. And it's an education trailer that we take out to events all over the place. And in it, we have information about FireWise. We have information about the large landscape scale projects. We have information about fire restrictions, especially when we're in fire restrictions. The first thing I ask folks, hey, are you local? Do you live around here? Oh, no, we're visiting. Oh, you do know that we have fire restrictions right now. And I wouldn't want your weekend being ruined by getting a $1,500 fine for having a fire.
So what about a timetable here? Next event where the trailer will be?
The Memorial Day weekend Arts and Crafts Fair up in Pine.
There you go. Look for it.
Yeah.
Okay? Is it painted red by any chance?
No, but you can't miss it. It's got these big graphics all over it. It says, your home doesn't have to burn.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I had to throw that out there.
We generally have it at any event that we partner on. We partner on most of our events anyway.
Okay.
So anyway.
We're talking FireWise on the Saturday surprise today. When it comes to your home, wildfires don't have to be a disaster. Now, that's coming from the folks at Department of Forestry and Fire Management. But for more information on what you're hearing today on the World Wide Web, psfuelreduction.org.
Correct.
Okay.
So also, we have some lectures coming up.
Oh, right. Good.
Right? We have a very full schedule.
Let us know, if you would, please.
Okay. All right. April 12th, okay, is the Wildfire Symposium at the Community College in Payson.
Okay.
Where you can join a group of experts in their field and learn about what you can do to protect your home, your family, and our community. And that starts at what time, Elsa, do you know?
9 a.m.
9 a.m. And how long does that one run?
Through the afternoon, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. There are breakout sessions. There are main speakers. I'm one of the breakout session speakers and nonprofits in wildfire mitigation.
Okay.
Now, another thing that's recently happened, which is a great thing, is the town of Payson has decided to start providing free dumpsters in town, okay, for people to put their FireWise garbage and junk, okay, in their front yard, okay, or all around their house. And the first event there takes place on the 17th of April. It's a Thursday, and it runs from Thursday the 17th to Tuesday the 22nd, okay? And there are going to be several locations, okay, for the dumpsters in town. And rather than just read them off, I have a list. We'll be posting flyers all over town, okay?
You know, it's interesting that you mention, and people like to collect, and there's nothing against that, but I remember this is going back to North Carolina, where my bio daughter lives, was in far western North Carolina. It's funny when I say, oh, I lived in North Carolina. Oh, you must have gone to the beach. Well, it was 11 hours to the beach. I lived in far western North Carolina. Yeah. Fell off the mountain. You were in Knoxville, Tennessee, to the north. Fell off the mountain to the south. You were in Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's how far west I lived. There was a fire on a piece of property that a gentleman had. It was about 10, 15 acres, but he collected Volkswagens.
Gee. Oh.
Do you know why that became a conflagration of epic proportions?
Yes.
Magnesium.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Magnesium burns very, very hot.
I knew what happened as the glow was evident at that very evident greenish type glow. I knew what was burning, and I went around the corner, and I remember saying to some of the volunteer firefighters, you're dealing with magnesium here. Yeah. And they turned and looked at me. I said, the guy's a Volkswagen collector.
Yeah.
And he had a ton of engine blocks.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. You don't fight it with water. This was a different fire, but point being taken as to what you said about maybe yard clutter or a collection or whatever.
Hoarding.
Yeah.
Lack of maintenance.
How about sodium-filled valves? Isn't that interesting? That came up in another fire situation where, again, you don't put out sodium with water. So just different things going on. I remember a fire that took place in the fringes of Maricopa County, and a gentleman had a property that he hadn't been in for years, was essentially inherited by a family. And one of the firefighters went in there and said, oh, we got an outbuilding that we're going to have to stay away from. What? There was dynamite in there.
Oh, my.
That had gone back. So you just never know, right? You just never know. So, again, these points being well taken as to what may be being stored in outbuildings or in a home.
Let's say you're in the underwriting department of an insurance company.
Okay.
And you're going to visit Payson to find out about if this is a good place to insure.
Okay.
Put yourself in that person's shoes. Drive down any street in Payson. What are you going to see?
Overgrown vegetation.
Quite possible. And a mixture of old and new. That's another thing that comes to mind.
Right.
And some dilapidated structures, some sitting next to new build.
Yeah. And a lot of it's just that little brushy stuff underneath the beautiful mature vegetation that we want to keep.
Right.
We want to keep those pine trees. So one of those principles of vegetation management is removing everything out from underneath the mature vegetation that we want. It makes it healthier so that we don't have bark beetles. It then isn't consuming all the water. But again, this is about preheating fuel so that that material, those fine fuels lower to the ground, are then they become a fuel ladder and allow fire to get up into the crown of trees.
Right.
When you get a crown fire, that's what we saw happen in Paradise, California.
Right.
And it produces a lot of embers. And when we teach about homes and preparing your home, it's about ember awareness, where these little hot embers can come and land, hang out, wiggle, you know, they settle in, and then a puff of air comes along and it starts a fire.
Again, growing up in the business of the aerial firefighting business, this is one of my favorite stories to talk about. There was a fire in just north of Kernville, California, up in the Peppermint National Forest in 1983. Again, the company that I was involved in, Dad's company, Aviation Specialties, that he was the avionics chief there, and we had to go work on a couple of B-17s that were based at Porterville. We had four turbine helicopters that were based up at Lake Isabella and Bodfish. There was a huge fire burning a little bit north of there. So we did our service throughout the day, flew up to Lake Isabella. We were in Bodfish, and we fly out in a Cessna 206, and our chief pilot, Ed Boyle, says, I want to just fly up. He said, I've got permission from the fire boss to go up, and we'll identify ourselves on the radio. And this was at night, and I got to see a major forest fire at night.
Right.
And I was in the right seat. The chief pilot was in the left seat. Dad had fallen asleep in the back of the Cessna 206. And this is a utility category, single-engine aircraft, 300 horsepower. So it's able to... It's a good, stable airplane. Mm-hmm. The closer we got to the fire, it became very unstable. It gave me an appreciation of what our tanker pilots flew. And then we basically flew an approach on an area in the fire. But as we got within 2 or 3 nautical miles, I noticed and I thought, what are these things flying out of the fire? And I said to, I keyed up on the intercom and I said, Ed, why are they using flares? And he goes, those aren't flares. He said, the closer we get, you'll recognize it. That fire was so hot. Trees were exploding.
Yes.
And were launching. Mm-hmm. The firebrands and embers were being thrown miles away from the fire, going back to what Elsa was saying. And again, if those fuels are there, that precipitates that. That creates that. And it was actually causing spot fires over 5 nautical miles away from the main.
Yes.
And that's our biggest enemy is the ember fire.
Because it can run ahead.
Yes.
You can have embers be carried on air currents, and that starts fires ahead of where the fire is. So when we're talking about emergency preparedness and possibly evacuating, knowing multiple routes out of where you need to leave.
Egress points are very important.
Egress points, yes.
I think about that. All frequently, being a resident of Rim Country here. You're listening to the Saturday Surprise on 88.1 FM, The Bridge. Okay. It's amazing in a half hour what we've covered here. I know we still have a ton more of information. We want to get that out there. Okay. And also remind folks that programming like this, vitally important programming that you're hearing on 88.1 FM, The Bridge, wouldn't be possible without support of programming here. If you would like to be a part, support programming on KPJM, please drop us a line, kpjmfm@gmail.com. Also, give us a call, 928-468-5756. Your dollars, your support, and getting the message out there about your business or organization is so very possible. Please drop us a line, and we would love to make you a part of support of programming here on KPJM. Firewise is what we're talking about today. Elsa in studios with us. And Bob, thank you so much for joining us again. I want to hit the website again, psfuelreduction.org. Would be
correct.
A good place to start.
Right, and then on April 24th, we're doing a Ready, Set, Go program
right.
at the Payson Senior Center.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. 11 a.m. And that's, you know, we were just talking about that emergency preparedness and knowing your routes out of town, knowing what you need to have when you are evacuated.
Right.
And we say it's not a question of if, but when.
And we talk about that on my All Outdoors program on Thursday nights on 88.1 FM, The Bridge, having a bug out bag ready.
Yes.
Or a bug out bucket, as I've been recommending for some.
Mm-hmm.
So having everything together in what a you central need. Place.
Exactly. And there's a video that we'll post in the promotion and play at the event that shows a family mm-hmm. who has 10 minutes to get what they need to leave. Now,
and
we
that
had
maybe all that you have.
We had 13 minutes between set and go, yeah. and sometimes set is a luxury. People don't get that because
right.
the fire is moving so very fast.
Right. Good
and point. Then on top of that, if there's a traffic jam.
Sure.
Which there's going to be, okay. Mm-hmm. You're stuck in your car for God only knows how long. You got to make sure you're prepared for that.
Right.
Especially with children and pets,
right.
which we'll get into a little bit later, okay.
Right.
But that's the other thing to think about.
Good.
Okay. And the senior center and a lot of the elderly people in this town don't use the internet.
Right.
They just don't, okay. And this is how we get the information to them. Okay, and it's usually a booked solid event.
Okay. And that, again, that event at the Senior Center coming up?
On April 24th, Thursday 24th at 11 o'clock, okay, from 11 to 12. And if you want to have lunch afterwards, call the Senior Center and let them know.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice.
I hear it's Meatloaf Day.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, then next on Saturday, May 3rd, okay. From 8 o'clock until 4 o'clock, I have a very important course. It's called Reducing Wildfire Risk in the Home Ignition Zone. We've already talked about a little bit, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a great course for learning about the FireWise USA program, which is something that I'm working very hard about getting in Payson. That's okay. what we really need, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, okay? Home ignition zones and fire behavior. And there's hands-on training in the field. This is a great class for training firewising contractors.
Oh, interesting. Right?
The last course we had was in 2003, okay? And there's been a lot of changeover, okay, in people firewising, mm-hmm. okay? So we want to be able to put people on a list to recommend, okay, that have been to the class, okay? If you go to this class, you spend the day, you spend the time, you get a certificate, okay? That you know what to do in firewising property.
Certified firewise.
Bob, define a firewise contractor.
A firewise contractor is a contractor that has been to an educational facility and taken a course that knows about the different zones, what the different fire zones are, what needs to be trimmed, what doesn't need to be trimmed, what needs to be done to your home on the inside and the outside.
Okay.
As well as the perimeter of your home.
Okay.
Okay. Not to underdo or overdo. Okay. And it's someone who is also could be trained, okay, to do an evaluation. Really, before your home is even firewise, you should have an evaluation done. Then you should get...
Bob's moving his headset there. We'll get him squared away. He needs to move his microphone in a little bit closer.
So
an evaluation yeah. then.
Yep. Here in Payson, yeah. it's the fire department that does it.
Yep.
Up
mm-hmm.
in Pine and Strawberry, our fire department also does it, but we have certified FireWise assessors with mm-hmm. Pine Strawberry Fuel Reduction as well. And RIMWAT, Bob's group, RIM Wildfire Awareness Team, they're doing a lot of assessments out in the exterior areas, Star Valley, places like that.
Okay. And what was that group again?
RIM Wildfire Awareness Team.
Okay.
And we have a site. It's a Facebook page.
Okay.
It's the RIM Wildfire Awareness Team.
Okay.
On Facebook.
Good.
But an evaluation should be done first.
Okay.
Okay. That should be in town, is done by the fire department. There's an official form for that. Okay. Then what you do is you contact three different contractors, get bids. Okay, and ask them what they think they need to do, taking a look at the evaluation. Then they fire whichever one you hire, firewises the property, okay? Makes notations on that document about what has been done, okay? Then you can take that document and talk to your insurance company about
yes.
it.
Yes.
we have talked about so much information in regard to FireWise. And again, I want to gravitate back to psfuelreduction.org. Again, Bob Decker and Elsa Stefansson in studios with us today talking FireWise. Let's just go back in about the 10 minutes we've got left here.
Okay.
Step one.
For FireWising your home?
Maybe people have been here forever. Maybe people haven't. Maybe people are just literally walking in with their keys after listening to us this morning going, oh boy, something else I need to worry about. Yeah, it is.
It is.
It's something else you need. You know, one thing that really bothers me driving around town is seeing half a foot of pine needles and pine cones on a roof.
Yes.
Oh, that's really bad.
That never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah.
And it happens. But that's, I mean, those kind of things are step one.
So step one actually is to get educated.
Right.
Get the information. And you can get that on that fuelreduction.org website. If you only look at the Ready, Set, Go guide, which is on there, the first few pages talk about the different home ignition zones. And it gives you lists. So it's very easy to follow. These are the things to do to your home. Second thing to do, I think, would be to get an assessment, to get one of the FireWise assessors out there and have a professional look at it and say, okay, you can do this, you could do that. But there are very simple things like painting your deck if you have exposed wood. Now, I know when people they buy a home or they're looking at their home like, oh, I have this ugly 70s pink bathroom. I really need to remodel that. Your home isn't going to burn down because you have a 70s pink bathroom.
Right.
But if you have cedar shake siding, it might. Or you have this exposed wood on your deck. Mm-hmm. Or you're storing your wood pile under your deck. These are all places where embers can land and a fire can start. And your home's going to burn down.
And I digress a bit to what Bob had said a little bit earlier on when we got started, talking about seasonal residents, or you made reference to the Airbnb. I mean, there are people coming in that really don't know what to look for. And maybe just there for 2 days, 3 days a week, and that's it. They just don't think about it. And it may sit for a month before the next set of residents come in. Another thing that I thought about is my property may be FireWise. And let me refer to that. Now, Wheels and I live in an apartment, but Mom Barrett has a residence on, let's say, an acre and three quarters. So I'm always there to make sure that's FireWise because she's not 21 years old. She's in her later years and really can't get out. And I check on it on a weekly basis. I'm fully good to go with the way the property is, but there may be neighbors that aren't having FireWise practices.
Right.
So that's, I'm presuming that one of these inspectors would point out something like that. You're good to go. Your neighbor over here is going to cause the demise of the entire neighborhood.
That's right.
And that's where you communicate with your neighbors. You drop a Ready, Set, Go guide to them. You talk to them about it. In Payson, you have the ordinance. I wish we had the ordinance Gila County wide, but we don't have that yet. We're working on it.
I'll help you.
Okay. Awesome.
But there's something else we need to, there's something very important we haven't talked about. I want to talk about before we're
good.
Okay. We all know how dry the fall and winter were this year. Okay. And as a result, we all know how high the threat of wildfires is. Starting now, not a month from now, not June, July, August.
Right.
Okay. I believe the town of Payson is looking for ways to add a firewising team. Remember, we were supposed to hire before that we desperately need. Okay. Money is, as always, the problem. Okay. Especially when the town responsibility is to figure in the cost of pension benefits, which are high for fire or police department employees. Maybe, here's an idea. Maybe, just maybe, they could hire the team as part of the Parks and Rec payroll.
Interesting.
Okay. Payroll and pension costs would be far considerably less. And again, maybe, just maybe, we could convince the town government to hire them sooner than later.
Yeah.
Think about it, everyone out there. Please talk to your friends. Get on the internet and give them your opinion. the wildfire clock is ticking.
When you saw the images of California in the last fire and saw areas that you're like, you know what? There's not brush around there. There wasn't forests. But again, going back to what Elsa said about and what I said about witnessing entire trees launched a quarter mile.
Right.
There's sap exploding. The embers being thrown because the fire creates that conflagration, creates a tremendous amount of convective velocity. Now, I'm using some heavy-duty terms here.
It creates its own weather system.
Exactly. I have seen massive thunderstorms spawn.
Pyrocumulus clouds.
Pyrocumulonimbus clouds. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just astounding.
Scary.
And lightning caused fires from that.
Yes.
It's just, and that can happen. Don't get it out. Don't think because you're sitting maybe surrounded by concrete, that it can't happen to the town of Payson and surrounding communities. It can. I hate to say it. It will.
It will.
But we can do something about it.
Indeed.
Right.
And that's, I don't want to just scare people.
No.
And have them leave our communities. There are things that we can do as individuals. We can do as groups, as nonprofit groups. We can encourage our leadership, our government agencies to do more. Our Forest Service is doing the work too. So we don't have to live in fear. What we have to do is get educated and get moving.
Educate, inform, enlighten, be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Get on the internet, psfuelreduction.org. Attend one of these meetings that's coming up. Again, would you hit those, please?
Sir?
Okay. All right.
April 12th, the Wildfire Symposium.
Your turn.
At the Community College. Thursday, April 17th, the Town of Payson Community Cleanup Events. April 24th, we have the Ready, Set, Go program at the Payson Senior Center. May 3rd, reducing wildfire risk in the home ignition zone. May 10th is the Pine Trail Run up in Pine. That's where we do a 5, 10, and 50K. Every dollar earned from that event goes right back into trails because part of managing our forest is bringing recreation to our forest.
Indeed.
Then May 17th, we have the APA Public Safety Power Shutoff class in Pine. On May 20th, we have the APS Public Safety Power Shutoff class in Payson at the library. And then we have some more cleanup dates for the dumpster cleanup program in Payson.
Now, we've thrown a lot of information that way and put it on the air, and that's good. Mm-hmm. But are those dates available at psfuelreduction.org?
Yeah, they're on our calendar.
Excellent. Excellent. Like that, an hour has come.
Nope, they'll also be on our Facebook page.
Very good. Yep. Bob? Elsa, thank you so much for joining us on the Saturday Surprise. I have kind of a twisted sense of humor. So as we go back into music after the Saturday Surprise, we're going to listen to The Strange World of Arthur Brown and Fire. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. You've been listening to the Saturday Surprise.
Fire. I'll take you to burn.
listening to 88.1 FM, The Bridge.
KPJM, Payson.